This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
The one-strike pitch. Swing and a high drive, well-hit ball, deep out into right center, and it is gone. Into the Ranger bullpen, a majestic shot for Jock Peterson. His team best fifth home run of the spring. That breaks the tie, and the Rangers lead it 6-3.
8 o'clock hour here on 105.3 The Fan. I'm RJ Choppy. He is Bobby Belt, Peyton and Aiden alongside. Sean back next week. He is taking a week for paternity leave on the Sean and RJ
just
show.
One?
Just one this week.
Oh, okay.
We're at the Firehouse tomorrow in Keller, Fire Station number one for the Firehouse Tour that rolls on, starts the third season of our Firehouse Tour. So Keller, Fire Station number one tomorrow. With a loaded day today, Jason Stark coming up at 9 o'clock. K&C will be out at the Globe for Rangers opening day. We will talk about the Sweet 16 coming up at 8:20, but you heard the voice. That is Matt Hicks, Rangers play-by-play, and he is joining us now right here on 105.3 The Fan. Morning, man. How are you? Happy opening day.
Happy opening day to you, and thanks for having me on. And, hey, you're coming up to my neck of the woods, coming up to Keller.
Yes.
Nice.
Right. We'll be there tomorrow. You should stop by. You should absolutely stop by. We'll be there from 6 to 10. So I have seen a ton of, like, the predictions, and, you know, obviously – everyone seems to be very, very high on the Rangers this year, and they would be another team that goes from a losing record to first place. It just happens just about every year in the sport. Are you seeing the same thing?
Well, I tell you what, I think that the American League West could be a very tight competition this year. When you consider what's happened in the offseason, I think the Rangers – you know, probably did more to improve themselves than anybody else in the division, but you still have to deal with a Houston team that is going to be excellent, a Seattle team that didn't do anything in the offseason to improve its offense, but still has, you know, one of the best starting rotations in all of baseball. And an Athletics team, can we call them Sacramento? Can we call them Las Vegas? An Athletics team that I think is going to be a lot better than people maybe give them credit for on paper, which is going to, again, make the division more competitive. So I think it's wide open. I think it's there for the taking. And I'm excited about what the Rangers did as far as, you know, the additions of Jock Peterson and Jake Berger and Kyle Higashioka, and the prospect of having Josh Young fully healthy in this season. You know, the Rangers were in the bottom third last year as far as slugging was concerned. They were about 20 points below league average in that regard. And I think that, you know, things are pointing up as far as, you know, doing what most offenses want to do now, and that's slug.
Matt, when you got through spring training and took a look at this baseball team over the last month plus, who did you look at and say, all right, that guy's going to have a year, I think. That's somebody who's going to click into place. I'm really excited about what he's got the potential to do this year.
Man, I don't know if you can just pick out one individual. I think, you know, the thing that you think about mostly is, man, let's have these guys healthy and let's get them to the start of the season. But, you know, one guy that I think is poised to have a great year is Jake Berger. You know, you're talking about a guy who could hit 30, 35 home runs and be a force there in the middle of the lineup. I liked what I saw from him. You know, pretty good defense at first base. Here's a guy who, you know, third base has been his position, but it looks like he's going to be able to make that transition. And if you do get 35 home runs out of Jake Berger, that's an outstanding season.
Mm-hmm. Matt Hicks joining us on the D&M Leasing Hotline here on 105 Through the Fan. All right, so it looks like DeGrom's going to start on Sunday, and I know there was talk about him maybe being the, you know, the fifth starter to give him those extra days off, basically for the first month of the season. Well, that's still set up the same way where the days off early on fall in a place where he can pitch on every sixth day as opposed to every fifth?
Well, obviously they're going to take care of DeGrom, right? I mean, he is Jacob DeGrom. And so, however that happens throughout the course of the year, one thing is for sure, and one thing that we all know from year to year, is how the rotation starts is not how it's going to look in May or June or July. And it's not just Jacob DeGrom that the Rangers are going to be, you know, taking care of, you know, coming back from Tommy John surgery. You know, same is true for Kamar Rocker, same is true for Tyler Mahle. So you're not going to be able to give all three of those guys a particular plan and then stick to that plan throughout. Now, you're probably going to see DeGrom get that consideration, maybe more so than others, but I wouldn't necessarily, you know, be concerned about where they fall in the rotation. I think the concern there is just what can we get out of them in terms of innings for the course of the season. We need to be able to keep them healthy. You know, and in the case of, you know, Kamar Rocker, you know, he, you know, gets this spot, you know, in the rotation here at the start of the season because of the injuries to John Gray and Cody Bradford. And he's got an opportunity now here that he can cash on, that he can take advantage of. But, you know, where Jacob DeGrom falls, I think, and how the rotation looks is going to change and probably change early here in the season.
Do they? You think they have him on an innings limit for the year? Like,
you know, that's a good question. I don't know if there's a magic number that, you know, and I was put just out of thin air, 120 innings. I don't know. And if that's something that as the season goes on, okay, we got to dial him back. But the thing of it is, if DeGrom is healthy and DeGrom starts dealing, you know, in elite Jason DeGrom form, you're probably going to want him to continue on as far as, you know, monitoring him goes. And if he's looking good over five or six innings per start, and keep him going that way.
Matt, Evan Carter, we've talked about this the last couple of days, him not starting the year with the big club. How much is there concern there for you about long-term prospects? Do you think this is just part of, hey, he's a young guy and he needs to clean some things up, or, you know, he's coming back from a year where he didn't get an opportunity to play very much? How do you feel about the Evan Carter situation and your prospects moving forward?
Yeah, there are a lot of factors involved there, right? Number one is the health. You know, he had that back ablation procedure early in the off season, and so given that this is something that could be a recurring thing for him, you hope that they can manage that. But I think that that's probably, you know, number one, to make sure that he's healthy, and then number two, because he only played, you know, not about a quarter of a season last year, you know, he's kind of behind. I mean, people forget, you know, he was in AA most of 2023. It came up to AAA for only about a week. Then, you know, it came to the Rangers for the final month of the season and was the talk of the town, and then helped to lead the team to a World Series title. So when you think about it, the amount of time he's had in the big leagues has not been very much, and especially the amount of at-bats he has seen against left-handed pitching. And so, you know, for Evan, there are a lot of things there. He's got to stay healthy. He's got to be able to get at-bats down in the minor leagues, and he's got to be able to start to, you know, do something against left-handed pitching. I don't think, given his age and given his talent, that Evan Carter is the kind of guy that you want to have back up in the big leagues quickly just to be a platoon player, even though he would be on the strong side of a platoon. I think down the road you see Evan Carter as an everyday player. So how to get him to that is what the Rangers will be concentrating on while he spends time down in the minors.
Hicks, do you think 2023 was – were they career years for Haim and Adolis, or was last year the blip?
Well, I think you have to talk about those two guys separately. And number one, you know, Adolis is an elite run producer, something like 383 RBIs over the last four seasons. And so even in the seasons in which, you know, he's not had the batting average or the on-base percentage or maybe the top slugging, he's still driving in runs. You know, Jonah had that, you know, one terrific year in 2023, and then it peeled off last year, I think probably a number of reasons why, and that's a big reason why the Rangers went out and got Kyle Higashioka, because Higashioka can certainly handle a load, you know, behind the plate. If those two guys end up splitting time roughly 50-50, the hope is that Jonah's offensive production can come back to the kind of numbers, at least rate-wise, that he produced a couple of seasons ago. And, you know, Higashioka is a guy that, you know, for so many years with the Yankees and then last year with the Padres, produced some really good numbers given the amount of time that he played. You know, he played roughly half a season last year with San Diego and hit 17 home runs. So I think you're talking two different situations there. Adolis in spring training looked good. Really good to me. And so hopefully he continues that here at the beginning of the season.
Matt Hicks joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. You can hear him at 3:05 calling Rangers Red Sox right here on 105 Through the Fan. He joins us here on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Hicksy, you know, Wyatt Langford is somebody that we're all really excited about, specifically after the end to last season. Is that a reasonable expectation, the way we saw him in September, to say, all right, he's going to pick right back up and you know, start running? Or do we need to look at him similar to maybe how we looked at Evan Carter and just say, hey, this is still a young player that's going to go through some time where he's adjusting to things?
Yeah, I think both are true. He is young, and so, you know, he's going to have periods during the season where he does struggle. But I'm encouraged by what I saw at spring training from him. I mean, he's a guy that has ridiculous power potential. The more we see him play in the outfield, I think the better that he looks. And so holding down left field and being an everyday left fielder, it's not something that the Rangers have had over recent years going way back. You know, it's been a while since the Rangers can say, okay, this guy has been our left fielder every day. So Wyatt, I think, has the potential to have a terrific season, both offensively and defensively, and could very well be one of the offensive leaders of this ball club.
Are you more excited to call a game in 100-degree Tampa in a minor league ballpark or 100-degree Sacramento in a minor league ballpark?
I have not been to either park. With the stories I hear about Sacramento in the dead of summer are not good in terms of weather. I think maybe we get the occasional sea breeze in Tampa. So I think I might have a little more excitement about 100 in Tampa than in Sacramento.
Get ready for a rain delay, I bet, right? Isn't it rain like every day there?
Well, you know, yeah, you could have that. You know, there are a couple of places where we play where you're concerned about rain all of the time. One of those being Cleveland, for sure. Baltimore, Washington being another place where you get rain a lot of the time. But it'll be interesting to see these games played in the minor league parks. At least in Sacramento's case, we know they've sold the season out.
That's good.
It'll be 14,000 people a night at that ballpark.
That's great. It's great for them. I don't know what they're going to do. They haven't played in front of 14,000 people in a while at home. So there you go. Hey, man, have a great season. Thanks for coming on with us.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it, guys.
Matt Hicks joining us here on 105.3 The Fan. I'm RJ Choppy. He is Bobby Belt. Peyton and Aiden alongside. It is Sweet 16 night, though. College kegger. Peyton's UNT losing another coach. The best petty is college sports petty, and the University of Texas is finding that out firsthand. And we can also do maybe a little degenerate action for you all coming up next here on 105 through the Fan. The tournament is back today, baby. Sweet 16 tonight. Peyton is going to be all in on his Red Raiders. That is a 9:09 tip time against Arkansas. It will start at 6:09 with BYU, Alabama. The over-under on that is 175.5 in a college basketball game.
Damn.
Maryland, Florida at 6:40. Arizona and Duke at 8:40. And then Arkansas, Texas Tech at 9:09. They actually started at 8:39. 6:39, 6:09. I just rounded it around.
You're not, I mean, what's going to happen today?
What?
You're going to have Rangers going on. Then you're going to roll right into basketball.
Yeah.
Like, when are you going to, like, have time to focus on a prep email? Like, because is it just going to, we're going to all be a reaction tomorrow in bits, I guess, tomorrow at the firehouse.
Friday's show is already settled. You don't have to do prep email.
I'll still do, here's my day. I'll give you my day. Show's over. I'm gonna go do the who's the viral guy? Ashton Hall,
yeah.
I'm gonna do the Ashton Hall. We'll go to the gym, we'll go to the cold tub, we'll go to the sauna. I'm gonna come home and I'm gonna get work done from like 1 to 3.
Oh.
All right. And then the rest of the show will be reaction to the Ranger game. Watch the Ranger game, then we'll go roll right in because baseball, thankfully, and it was just for today they did this. They got the pitch clock in there. And it's for days like this where you have a 3-hour window before, you know, the tournament starts. The tournament's on great numbers. Everyone's watching this thing. So, it's going to be a hell of a day. And then I have my podcast to do after the game.
Well,
my BetMGM podcast.
That's not the one that's nationally recognized.
Number two nationally. Ooh. We don't want to be number one. We just want to work harder. Number one, overachiever. Number two, we try harder.
I feel like number two is generally a spot you've earned. Number one is usually something that's just handed to you. You're resting on your laurels. Yeah. It's just, that's what I think that is.
Yeah. I mean, so that's kind of where we are. But I got a little degenerate for you, and we started off poorly. We were 2-5 on Thursday.
It was not good for you.
And then we were 3-3, 2-2, and then 2-1 the final day. But I've always said, tread lightly on the first weekend. This is the weekend where you can really kind of make some hay. And so we'll be able to do that.
I think I saw this because, you know, the trend of like each March Madness, you have a whole bunch of upsets from the lower seeds. So people put like $100 on the money line of each team. I think if you did every upset team this year, you're down, put $100 on every
time
team,
down.
You're down over $1,200.
Yeah. And we did BYU money line over Wisconsin, and that was able to like double our money. It was like 2-1. So we came out a little bit better than you would have normally with a 7-6 record. So we came out a little bit better than you normally would. But I mentioned that Peyton Russell is not happy, and that's because his Mean Green, for the second time in a couple of years, are losing their head coach.
Sad call here. Sad call.
Grant McCaslin went to Texas Tech, and now Ross Hodge is heading to West Virginia.
West Virginia Mountain Mama. There are three teams we say Peyton's whatever. Yeah. Peyton's Red Raiders, Peyton's Longhorns, Peyton's Mean Green. I think this just needs to be a bit moving forward. If ever we're mentioning a college or professional team that it's isn't Peyton's. Assigned to anybody, we're going to say, it's Peyton's. You know, Peyton's Colorado Buffaloes.
Yeah.
You know,
say W.I. Peyton when I picked the Eagles in my top five. W.I. Peyton. So, yeah. Eagles fan, apparently.
Caw! That's why you say Caw. You say it's for the Mean Green, but it's for them.
That's right.
Look, I think this is a good hire from West Virginia. It was a good hire for Texas Tech when they got Grant. But I actually think this is a good thing for UNT, Peyton. I'm going to tell you here. You know, what's the difference between UNT and Xavier or Butler or Cincinnati? Like, you know.
I don't know. What is the difference?
Well, I mean, now, like, Now Xavier and Butler and Cincinnati are in like big time power conferences.
Oh, I thought it was a joke.
But, you know, 20, 30 years ago, they weren't. They were mid-major programs. You know, Atlantic 10. You know, what was it? What was Butler in? They were in the Ohio Valley or something like that. So the or the Summit, whatever it is. The point is that they grew and they became known as like the school that always had a good coach. And that coach always got another job, but the programs were always really, really good. Like, always, you know, you had Bob Huggins, you had Mick Cronin, you had, obviously, Brad Stevens, you had Thad Matta, you had Sean Miller. And they just had, like, a ton of really solid coaches come through the pipeline there, and they were always a competitive team. Like, who's, you know, they also, they were all in big cities. They're in Cincinnati, or they are in Indianapolis. You know, UNT obviously is in DFW, ton of recruits. You might have something here, man.
I mean, UNT is still in the NIT.
Think of it as a blessing in disguise.
UNT is still in the NIT. We beat Oklahoma State the other night.
What happened with that? Did that game get moved? It was supposed to be at Hinkle, and it got moved to like Oklahoma or something?
No, it was supposed to be in Denton, but we couldn't host it because we had a faculty luncheon already scheduled in the stadium. And so they couldn't move it. I swear, they could not get it moved. And so they said, we have to play this game in Stillwater.
And you know, and that's when he said, I'm going to West Virginia.
He's like, we can't host a playoff game.
You know what? You might not be wrong.
Like that's something that makes you go like, all right, if I'm going to lose my home court advantage, then yeah, we're just.
That's like Kevin Willard. Like, Kevin Willard's going to leave Maryland, right? He's going to go to Villanova because he doesn't want to split money with the Kevin Willard's the coach at Maryland. He doesn't want to split money with the football program. Villanova is like all the money is going to get funneled into basketball. And he was complaining that they wouldn't pay for him to keep his team in New York City one extra night for a team bonding thing after some.
I mean, that could make a difference, to be honest. Like, if you're trying to get NIL money together, you're trying to convince people to come, and then you're starting to tell them, by the way, the faculty has to meet. So, and look, we like a lot of the people over there at UNT. Been a great pipeline. You know, the athletic department over there has been great with us when we've done stuff best. But, man, that's not good. You guys got to, if you want to stay competitive,
yeah,
you need to take advantage of your home court advantage. I feel sorry for the Mean Green fans.
Yeah, because that's free money. You know, those playoff games are free money. Mm-hmm. That weren't on the schedule. So there you go. The University of Texas, as we said earlier this week, they hired Sean Miller mm-hmm. as their new head coach. Mm-hmm. He was at Xavier. Mm-hmm. And so he got the job. He has been there forever. He was at Xavier in 04. In 04, they reached the Elite Eight in 08. He winds up going to Arizona in 09. He was there for like a decade, a little bit more than that. And then he got let go because of there was an FBI investigation into some kind of scandal.
Yeah, I mean, so.
He goes back to Xavier, takes him back, beats Texas in the first four, and then winds up losing Illinois. But then Texas hired him. Well, they hired him on Monday. Xavier fans were not happy. So what they do, they snatched up all the Twitter handles that he possibly could change his Twitter name to.
It's a good move. That's a really good troll move.
This is a great move, Xavier.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. That's smart.
At Coach Miller UT, UT Coach Miller, UT Sean Miller UT, Coach Miller TX, Sean Miller TX, Coach Miller _, Sean Miller _, Coach Miller _UT, Sean Miller _UT, UT _ Coach Miller, UT _ Sean Miller, TX Sean Miller, TX Coach Miller, Coach Miller UT _, UT Coach S Miller, UTX Coach Miller,
my God,
UT _ Miller, Coach Miller, Coach Miller _TX, Sean Miller _TX. He was forced to go with Coach Miller _. He has the double _ at the bottom of his name.
That
looks like a fake account.
Yeah, it does.
That's the name of a fake account. Very well done, Xavier, on the troll move. That's big.
Why don't you go, why didn't he do something like I'm looking at some of these right now. UTMBB Miller is available. Or UTMBB _ Miller or something like that. Like,
yeah, MBB works.
Because a lot of people use the MBB.
Now, I wonder what this, though. Does Tennessee have any U? Because we have a UTMBB.
Well, I just put UTMBB Miller. That like it's nothing. It's nothing. There. It says it doesn't
exist.
There's
no Miller. Yeah, there's no Miller.
Yeah, or UTMBB underscore Coach Miller. Like none of it.
Interesting.
Taken up.
I don't know, but that's a really good troll job.
I like it.
It's a really good troll job on their part. But that's for another. They're technically gonna get the last lap because they got the coach.
Yeah, and I mean, well, we'll see if they get the last. They thought they got the last laugh with Tom Herman, right? And then they didn't. That didn't work out for them. So, you know, it could always change. And would you like
Xavier, by the way, they hired Richard Pitino, Rick Pitino's kid. I don't know if that's a Nepo hire or not. But Richard was at New Mexico.
Would you like a quick update on where our brackets stand?
Oh, yeah.
Before we
enter things.
Because remember, there's still some place. I don't know. So here's the thing. It's the guy who's going to pretend like he doesn't want DeGrom to have his music played for him at the ballpark. This is a little bit of an interesting setup that we have here, Chop, because of the people who still have something left to win. So, for instance, you had North Carolina winning in this round. They're out. Iowa State was supposed to win for Sean. I had Gonzaga. Peyton had St. John's. They're out. They're already eliminated, so there's nothing at stake to earn. Of the potential games that we can earn here, everybody has picked the same team.
So everybody has Texas Tech.
We all picked Auburn. Peyton and I both picked Michigan State. You guys had already been eliminated with Iowa State and North Carolina. We all picked Florida. We all picked Texas Tech. We all picked Duke. All picked Bama. All picked Houston. All picked Tennessee.
But Peyton had St. John's.
Right. I'm just saying, of the ones that are available for people to earn. So like you, me, and Sean, we can potentially win with Texas Tech, but there's no way to separate from each other. Because we all picked Texas Tech. Now, where this can screw you up, Sean cannot have Houston miss the Final Four.
Right.
He is in big trouble if Houston misses the Final Four. That needs to happen for Peyton. Really cannot afford to have Auburn lose. That's going to be a big thing. Even though we all picked Auburn, it would hurt him much more to lose Auburn right now.
Yeah.
Because he has Auburn in the title game. So, to wipe that one out potentially. This is basically, we're all looking today. The games that we're really interested in moving forward, there are a couple different teams. Florida as the national champ is a big one for us, all of us. Duke as the national champ is a big divider. And then Houston getting to the Final Four, Tennessee getting to the Final Four, and Auburn getting to the title game. So really, we're just caring about five of those 16 remaining teams.
And the total points right now is what? Who has?
Right now, the leader in total points is, if I can pull it up here, it's Peyton's leading with, he's got 52. I've got 49. You've got 48. Sean has 47. Future points, potential most points they can earn. Peyton's 107. We're both 102, and Sean's 101.
Okay.
So we've got some narrow margins here.
All right.
To potentially play with. But really what we're watching tonight, or moving forward, is we're watching five teams, Florida, Duke, Houston, Tennessee, and Auburn. Those are the ones that can really mess this up for
us. All right, I'm going to do a quick degenerate here. Duke, Arizona, I like the over 154.5 in this one. Texas Tech and Arkansas under 148.5. This game could get ugly. And Bama, BYU, I can't believe I'm going to do this. I think under 175.5. That's a lot of points.
Yeah.
I mean, that means both one team is going to have to get in a 90. Am I right on that?
Pretty much, yeah.
Unless you get 88, 87.
Yeah. Right.
Or an 89, 88.
What's the spread on that one?
It's 5.5. Bama, 5.5.
Oh, yeah, so that's
half.
Supposed to be 90 to 85.
Yeah, that seems a little high. I'm taking the under 175.5. I'll put these on at RJ Choppy on Twitter. What's up next and below the belt?
Oh, baby. It looks like Trey Lance is going to end up with Peyton's Saskatchewan Rough Riders. That's next in Below the Belt on The Fan.
And it's back to Sean and RJ right here on 105.3 The Fan segment here brought to you by Classic Chevrolet. If you're in the market to upgrade your vehicle, get to Classic Chevrolet in Grapevine today. The back-to-back number one Chevy dealership in the world. More new Chevys than anyone else. All priced to sell. Visit ClassicChevrolet.com. This is Texas. This is Classic Chevrolet. Together, let's drive, relax, enjoy the difference based on new Chevrolet registrations 2023 and 2024.
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Oh, baby. How the mighty have fallen.
Oh, no.
From the number three
the
pick. No. From the number three pick to the CFL. That's Trey Lance's
path. That is Trey Lance,
oh,
man.
Oh, boy. More on that here in just a second as we do Below the Belt, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Plano, a first-class buying experience. I was a little rushed coming back here into the segment, Chop, because I just got it done, but I was able to get my song done. I don't love it.
You know, if you didn't love it, we should have done it tomorrow, yesterday.
I was working on it yesterday. That's not the point. I didn't feel creatively inspired. And that was the problem, is that I felt like, I mean, there's so much good about this Rangers team, but in terms of like the song that I felt like fit,
yeah,
or the song that I wanted to go with, I don't know. It didn't come out the way I wanted. I think it's going to be universally panned. Just didn't come through. And so disappointed with it, but we'll play it here in just a sec, and you guys can rightfully crush it. I went with after you and I had argued about Disney recently. You said, if it's not Beauty and the Beast, throw it in the trash. I don't want it. I decided to go with an animated film. I went with Tangled was the one. So I got the song from Tangled, I See the Light.
I know that one.
Mandy Moore. It's like the
See the Light.
No, not that. Oh. It's the what's the. The one where she lets it, Rapunzel. It's the modern day retelling of Rapunzel.
Okay.
So I've got
Tangled the hair, the long hair got tangled on the way down.
Yep. See, you got it. So that's the one that I went with. I went with I See the Light. And so it'll be awful. And I'm going to take my headphones off while we play it.
Peyton, do you know the story of Rapunzel?
Yeah. Let down your hair from the tower, blah, blah. Yeah. And she gets rescued. Yeah.
Yeah. See, he knows. That's only because he watched Tangled in 2012 when it came out or whatever it was. All right. Trey Lance. Boy, you want to talk about a fall from grace. Trey Lance was offered an opportunity to return to the Dallas Cowboys in November. November, December, somewhere around there. They'd approached his representatives and said, hey, we'd like to have you back. Would you like to return? And he had said, no thanks. I think I'm going to explore other opportunities. I want the opportunity to potentially start. I want to be able to get bigger and brighter things. I want to be competitive. That's not going to happen here in Dallas, which I respect. I respect that somebody is willing to say, hey, let me bet on myself. Let me take some opportunity to see if I can realize the dream the way that I want to. Well, that has ended somewhat poorly right now. He has gotten no attention from the NFL. And per Dave Naylor from TSN, not Texas State Network, but TSN up in Canada, the Saskatchewan Roughriders, I always hate saying that city name, by the way, of the Canadian Football League, have added former Cowboys quarterback Trey Lance to their negotiation list. In the CFL, each team has a negotiation list, or that's what it's called, negotiation list, consisting of 35 players that have exclusive rights to negotiate a contract within the league. That sounds very restrictive, by the way. It is also worth noting that Lance's father, Carlton, played cornerback for the Rough Riders, which could influence his decision to join the team. Dallas traded a fourth-round pick for Trey Lance before the 2023 season, but he only started the season finale this past year with nothing to play for. Cowboys declined Lance's fifth-year option. This is all from NFL trade rumors, by the way, this recap of it. He's set to hit free agency this year. Jerry Jones praised Lance, but knows he will likely look for chances to compete for a starting job elsewhere with Dak Prescott locked up long-term. And that starting job, it looks like, may very well be in the CFL. This is just a disaster projection. If you want to talk about trying to the initial pick and then the fourth round trade for it, this was just a brutal, brutal misevaluation in a number of ways by the NFL, by the 49ers, and by the Cowboys.
It's the right move for Trey.
It's really hard to get back.
But here's the thing. He's made $34 million of career earnings. He doesn't have to worry about money for the rest of his life. The only way for him to get better as a player is to play. He's not going to play in the NFL. At least not anytime soon. He's got a very small chance. We've seen it with other players from Darnold to Geno to Baker. High picks. Who figured it out eventually. He's got to play. And I don't know if... Yeah, you're right. It's very hard to get back. I don't know that it's very hard to get back if you're a quarterback. If you're a quarterback and you play well, someone will invite you to camp.
Yeah, but so here's the thing. I remember I had talked to friend of the show, Dave Campo.
Well.
I had talked to, we need to have Campo as the next mystery lifeline on how young is Peyton Russell. I bet he'd nail those. I talked to Dave Campo about this one time, like a decade ago. And I said, why don't CFL players Why aren't there many success stories transitioning from CFL getting back to the NFL? Because we've seen examples recently of XFL not having those issues. We've seen guys like Turpin and Brandon Aubrey and different guys like come over to the NFL and be fine. But I'd asked him, I said, why doesn't the CFL have more success stories transitioning back to the NFL? And he said, our scouting department, when I was coaching and what I've been around typically, scouts will tell you it's that the game is so different. So the AAF or the XFL or the USFL or whatever you want to, any of those leagues you want to talk about, at the end of the day, it's the same general game with a few exceptions. The CFL has a longer field. The CFL has a wider field. The end zone depth is 15 to 20 yards as opposed to 10. The number of downs is 3 downs to gain 10 yards. It's 4 in the NFL. You've got 12 players on the field at a time compared to 11. They're like, it's just such a different game in terms of the dimensions and what you're allowed to do that you feel like, all right, but that doesn't tell me if he can replicate it. I can't see it the same way as I can when they play in the XFL or the USFL.
Yeah, but I mean, if you've got the all 22.
UFL now. It's UFL now. Thank you, Kerry. Yes, because Daryl Johnston is associated with that.
Yeah, you got the all 22. Yeah, it may be wider, but you can still see if he's making the right, you know, reads and stuff, right?
Yeah, but I mean, again, reading 12 players instead of 11. And like, I mean, it's just, it is different. It's like, just like 7-on-7 wouldn't be the same game. Like, it is a different game in terms of rules and everything else that it has an impact on. Trey Lance was always very, very nice and professional in the Cowboys locker room and seemed like a good guy. So, sucks that this is where he's ending up with Peyton's Saskatchewan Rough Riders. But still, hopefully he's able to find a way back.
Actually, you know what? Those are my Saskatchewan, because I'm the one that I go on Saskatchewan
That's
radio.
My team.
I go on Saskatchewan radio all the time.
What's the station?
Saskatchewan radio.
Ethan Graven on the YouTube says Hamilton Tiger Cats will land Trey Lance. So maybe those are Peyton's Hamilton Tiger Cats.
Maybe.
Him and Ethan can cheer along with that. Okay, so the NFL Competition Committee.
That's in Ontario, I think, Hamilton.
The NFL Competition Committee is proposing moving touchbacks to the 35 and making the dynamic kickoff permanent. You like this?
I think we just get rid of the kickoff and move the ball to the 30.
They don't want to do that.
I know.
They still think it can be an exciting play.
It can't be.
So this is what's wild. Rich McKay, the former Buccaneers Falcons GM, who's on the competition committee, he is the chairman of it. He says that the return rate, if you move the touchback up to the 35, could jump up to 65 to 70%. The return rate was roughly 33% in 2024. Which was up a little bit, but they had some crazy projections the last time, too. Last year at this time, they were saying same sort of thing. We could see 70% kickoff, and they were wrong. And so now they're saying, yeah, but if we move the touchback up to the 35, well, then we'll really see it. I kind of wonder if that's just too much, though.
It's a lot.
If you're moving it up to the 35, you're going to have... That just seems like a hand and over
just
way
move
too
the kickoff
much.
Back.
That's what it is. And Belichick has talked about that. Belichick said if you want more returns, move the kicker back. Just move the kicker.
Move to what are they at, the 35 now?
If you move the kicker back
move to the 25.
Move them to the 25 or the 20. Something. If you do that, you will have more returns.
Yeah.
That's the way that you can approach it.
And you can go back to the old way. Instead of the stupid, you know, have them set up at the 30 or whatever, the way they did it last year. Like, go back to the old way. Move the kicker back. You want more touch. You want more. But also, you cannot. Don't ever tell me if you move the kicker back that you care about player safety. Don't ever tell me that.
Maybe that's why they don't do it then. Is just because of that.
Yeah, maybe.
It's because of the player safety. Now, I guess this is, they feel like the only sane way to do it is to incentivize teams to not want to kick it out of the end zone. But I mean, the numbers, according to the AP, it was a record low in 2023 of 21% of kicks were returned. So it went up to 33. It was a nice 50% jump, but it wasn't significant enough. And so they'd still like to see more of that. I had heard from somebody at the league office, they said no wasted plays. That's Roger Goodell's big thing. No wasted plays. That's what he wants.
All right. Well, you don't want no wasted plays. So just get rid of it. And it's not a play at all. Jason Stark coming up at 9 o'clock, getting ready for the Rangers opening day, Major League Baseball season. KNC Masterpiece about an hour away at the Globe with Derek Holland, Michael Young, Ian Kinsler. And Bobby is not He's not feeling it. Peyton, have you listened to this yet? Are you going to be a virgin too here?
I got about 25 seconds in. I was like, you know what? The rest has to
be. There we go. All right.
So this is the song. This is the song.
Frozen, right?
No, it's from Tangled.
Tangled, sorry.
I went Disney last year. I was like, let's recycle since we were arguing about that a couple weeks ago. This is my my cover of the Mandy Moore, and which is a very high song, the Mandy Moore and Zachary Levi track from Tangled, I See the Light. And I'm taking my headphones off.
Oh, baby.
All last fall, Cowboys were the same team. All this spring, Luka's a Laker. All that time, just patiently waiting for Wyatt Langford. Now he's here, DeGrom has his arm right. Never fear, Seager's good to go. Thursday's here, it's crystal clear. I'm going to the Globe. And at last at 3:05,
oh, man.
Ivaldi will be there pitching. And it's not just 3:05. Sanders' pregame starts at 2. Oh. And it's warm and real and bright. And the West has somehow shifted. All at once, everything is awesome. Go for number 2.
He did it again. Bobby Bell. He did
it
again.
No, I cannot.
That was amazing.
No, this is, I wrote it.
That was amazing.
I wrote it last night, and then when I was going, it's too damn high. Damn it, it's too damn high, and now I've screwed it up because I don't have time to do something else. I should have done it on Ether. That's what I should have done.
On Ether?
Ether after we argued about Jay-Z and
Nas. Wait a second. Do it on Ether like the drug?
No, Ether. I should have done the diss track, Ether.
Oh.
That's what I should have done.
Yeah, you should have done that.
It should have been a diss track.
Right, it would have given people the chance to hear it for the first time.
Yeah, that's what I should have
done. You should have done that. There you go. That's well done, Bobby.
No.
Maybe tear up. I mean.
Everett, stop playing it.
We're going to play that again. We are going to play it again. We might play it for Jason Stark from The Athletic next to The Fan.